If I can have your attention here in the media center, we'll continue on with today's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series media availabilities. And we are joined by Eric Almirola, driver of the number 10 Smithfield Prime Fresh Ford.
Easy for you to say.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, it's quite the mouthful, quite the paint scheme. I mean, you've had a busy week here in Kansas City. You went yesterday to the Kansas City headquarters of Smithfield. You got to show them the new car, and then you did some donations. Just walk us through your time here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed coming to Kansas City from the very beginning of working with Smithfield. This used to be headquarters for Farmland, and then as they've transitioned and created one Smithfield, now it's headquarters for Kansas City area for Smithfield. So I love coming here. It's always a lot of fun. I've got a great friend that I come and stay with and always look forward to coming to Kansas City. But then, you know, yesterday getting to go to headquarters for Smithfield and get to see all the employees. I think they have about 900 employees here in the Kansas City area. So to come and see a lot of them and sign autographs for them and share the new paint scheme for this weekend was fun and exciting. And then to also we donated money on behalf of Stuart Haas Racing and Smithfield to Children's Mercy Hospital here in Kansas City, which was a lot of fun and nice to do, to be able to give back. And that's one of the things that I've always loved about Smithfield, is through all the food donations and donations to, you know, children's hospitals around the areas, it makes it to where it's an honor to represent their company, because they do so much more than just put stickers on a race car and let me go ride around. They actually, get involved with the communities and where we race at.
Okay, we're going to open the floor up for questions. We'll start with Sean, then go to Todd, and then to Lee.
Sean Roney, Dos Mundos newspaper here in Kansas City. If memory serves, Eric, not too long ago you talked to the press about what life is like for you a year after the crash here. Just, is it difficult to not think about that now that you're here and just put all that stuff out of your mind and just focus on the race this weekend?
You know, I don't think it's difficult at all. I mean, I think I show up to the racetrack every weekend and just go and focus on, you know, trying to get my car handling the way I want it to and fast and ready to go race for that weekend. And every weekend is a different challenge because it's a different track. But, you know, I never really let my mind drift back to that, you know, to that place, if you will. I mean, when I came back here in the fall, it was probably a little bit more top of mind, coming back here, just a few months after breaking my back here in May when we came back in October. But then to go through that weekend and we ran really well, and I think we finished ninth. So to come back here and kind of get somewhat of redemption on the racetrack and sort of put that to bed and come here and run as well as we did and run top 10, I think it's a non-issue. I don't even really think about it. I have to think about it because you guys asked me about it, but I don't think about it.
Todd?
Todd Palmer, Kansas City Star. Two questions for you. First, if memory serves, last year you were in the hospital that ruined your Mother's Day plans with your wife. So do you have something special to make up for it this year?
Well, I actually I brought my wife with me this time. So so if I do end up not making it home, at least she's with me this year. But my mom was gracious enough to offer to babysit the kids this weekend. So kind of having a little getaway weekend, with my wife and that's been nice.
She got a line of credit at the casino then?
No, we're keeping her out of the casino, but I think she is across the street, planning to do some shopping today, which could hurt.
Yeah. My second question was, if memory serves, you went through the Joe Gibbs Diversity Initiative.
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
How important do you think that is to the future of NASCAR? And we've seen some guys, Bubba Wallace, obviously, has gotten a lot of attention, Kyle Larson, some of those guys. But also, sure. How important do you think it is on the crew side, on the behind-the-scenes side, that you guys kind of make that transition, make that a priority from a business standpoint?
Yeah, and one more to add to that is Suarez. You know, Suarez went through the same program. You know, I think it's important because, in my opinion, it gives people an opportunity that otherwise probably would never get the opportunity. And as a race car driver, that's what we all ask for. That's what we all need. You know, you need that shot. You need that opportunity. And the reality is that most people, you know, growing up racing their late model or racing their go-kart, they don't ever get that shot. There's probably thousands of kids out there that were more talented at racing go-karts than me. I won my share of races and, you know, state championships and national championships, but I raced against other kids that were equally as talented for sure. And whether their parents could afford to take them to the next level or not was, you know, particularly an issue. And then once you get to late model stock racing, your parents have to be really, really, really invested and bought in on trying to help you with a hobby, you know? Because at that time, it's a hobby, and you have hopes and dreams of turning it into something. But, you know, you can play any stick and ball sport, and it costs your parents at max maybe $1,000 a year between, you know, paying for league fees and jerseys and maybe a new baseball glove and baseball bat every year or new cleats, you know, and traveling to and from games. To go racing, especially like late model racing, it costs the family, you know, between 75 and 150 grand a year, depending on how much you want to spend. I mean, you can spend more than 150 grand if you wanted to. So it is a very expensive sport to get into, and especially for, you know, a young child or a kid that's 15, 16 years old and you don't know where it's ever going to go. That's a huge financial burden and investment on a family to basically throw that money away, because everything in racing, once you use it and race it, you're going to get 10 cents on the dollar for it. So you go out and you buy a new late model and motor, and you go through the year and you spend 150 grand to go race late models, and then, you know, it doesn't work out or you can't afford to continue to do it, you're going to sell all that stuff and maybe get 25 grand for it all, and you're kid is not going to be a professional race car driver, and so that money's gone. You never get it back. So I think that's the biggest challenge with trying to get younger kids into our sport, and I think that that's where the diversity program really steps in, as they help these kids with, you know, giving them that shot, and they, you know, NASCAR and the Drive for Diversity take on, you know, that financial initiative and investment and invest in these kids. And even on the crew side, you know, they allow them and give them the space and the opportunity to come and work in a shop and work in an environment where this probably not available to them at the local short track ranks.
We'll go to Lee, Brett, Briar, Nick, and Kathy.
On a scale from 1 to 10, where's your confidence level this year compared to 2017?
Wow. I'd say an 8. You know, I think my confidence is pretty high. I'd say last year, you know, not that I didn't have confidence, but I was always unsure on what I was going to get. Last year, life was like a box of chocolates. You never knew what you were going to get from week to week. This year, I know what I'm going to get. Every week, I know I'm going to show up with a car that's going to be fast, and that it's up to Johnny and myself to do the best that we can to make it a race-winning car. We have the product. We have the potential to have a race-winning car each and every week, and we can see it internally amongst, you know, our teammates. We can look at what they have, and that's just going to take time for Johnny and myself to continue to grow together and build a notebook together. You know, you got to remember, Johnny is going on week 11 or week 12 of being a brand new crew chief. You know, he's never crew chief at the truck rank, never crew chief at the, you know, Xfinity rank. So having him and being as new to it as it is, it's going to take him time to continue to, you know, evolve and develop. You know, got a new engineer, a new lead race engineer that's young. And that's one of the things that I think is so cool, is that our team is really built for the future. You know, we've got a bunch of young guys on our team, and we're all, you know, really fired up, and we're all young and ambitious. And so I think as we continue to build and get better and better together, you know, the future looks bright for us. And we're off to a good start, you know, even so, even these first 11 weeks, we're just a few points out of 10th in the points. We've had 4 top 10s, so we're doing things well, but we see that there's so much more potential out there for us.
Brett?
Brad Williams, SpeedwayDigest.com. Kind of a follow-up to Lee's question. This year, you have teammates, and you didn't really have that last year or throughout your career up to that point. How has that been going for you?
It's been an experience for sure. It's been nice to be able to go and sit in a holler after practice and debrief with three other guys and three other crew chiefs and three other race engineers, and listen to the way that they describe their car, listen to the changes that they made that helped their car. I mean, especially now that the schedule and the practices and everything are getting more and more condensed. We're getting less on track time. So you really only have a chance to make three or four changes per practice to really get an idea on a feel for, setup changes and stuff. So when you have three other cars in your organization that are also doing the same things and they're making changes, you can kind of bounce ideas off of each other and learn. You get basically more data for the given time that we have to be on track, and that has been nice. But then just simply to hear how Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer and Kurt Busch, they approach the weekend and how they go from working on their car on Saturday to knowing what they need for it to be good on Sunday. I mean, that's experience. And you gain that from, they've got 15, 20 years of experience in the sport. And so that just helps me tremendously, just being able to learn from their experience.
Also, how has the transition been going for you over at Stura-Os Racing? You finished in the top 15 in all but two races this year. What little gaps are you still trying to make a connection with the new environment?
Yeah, I think just the fact that I'm new to the organization and trying to figure out each and every week where we need to unload with setup wise, and we every time we feel like we're starting to understand a trend, we go to a different racetrack, or we show up with a new car, and that trend doesn't always play out. Like, we'll show up one weekend and be like, oh, we need to be a little bit tighter than where the four is going to show up, and then we show up and we're too tight and we got to start freeing up, or we've got to continue to build our notebook with the 10 team. And I think that's what makes those other teams so strong. And you even listen to Bowyer talking about it. He went through last year and had a lot of inconsistencies. They'd run really good one week and then go two or three weekends and just be average. And then they'd run really good for 2 weeks and then go through another couple week swing of not being where they wanted to be. I feel like at least we've been consistent, but we just haven't reached our max potential, and I think that's just going to come with time and continuing to build our notebook to where we can go back to these tracks for a second and third and fourth time and say, hey, remember last time when we showed up we were X, and we definitely don't want to do that again. We want to be here. Hey, remember we were really good at this racetrack and this is what we had. Let's take that and massage on it and tweak it and make it better. So I feel like that's kind of where we're missing it compared to our teammates, just not having that database.
Breyer, Nick, Kathy, and then we'll start it with Claire at the end.
Breyer Star, Speedway Media. Kind of a follow-up to that question. You have a 12.7 average finish. What would it mean to you in Stura-Haas Racing to possibly make the playoffs for this year?
I think it'd be huge. I mean, I think that's what we expect. I think we went into the year hoping to, be a team that's capable of running for a championship and making the playoffs. And, I think we're on target for that. We knew that the beginning of the year there would be some growing pains and we'd go through some ebbs and flows. But, I feel like overall, as a whole, our company is a championship caliber company, and all three of our other cars are showing speed and doing the things that they need to do to make the playoffs, and we need to do our part, and so far we are, and I feel like if we didn't make the playoffs, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but by all means, we have the resources and the people at Stura-Haas Racing and the cars capable of doing that. So, I keep saying it, but it's up to Johnny and my team and myself to go out and get the job done. And so I feel like currently we're on pace to do that, and we've just got to continue to build and get better, and we will be, I hope to be peaking by the time we get to the playoffs. You know, I think we've got 15 more races till the playoffs start, and so that gives us 15 more weeks to continue to grow together and continue to build our foundation so that when we do start the playoffs, we're firing on all eight cylinders.
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. What was your reaction Monday when you saw the report that NASCAR was potentially looking for an investor for sale? Or what went through your head?
As long as there's a place for me to show up and race, I've got my helmet and I'm ready to go race. I mean, I just love to race cars, and that's kind of my take on it all. I mean, I've raced for a lot of different sanctioning bodies throughout my career, whether it was WKA, the World Karting Association, or the Florida Automobile Stock Car Racing Association in Florida, or whatever the next series was, or the NASCAR Late Model Series. And I just show up every single weekend excited to go race, and that's what I love. That's what I've always done. And so for me, as long as there's a platform and a ride available for me to go race, I don't really care who owns it. I mean, that's just the truth. I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for, but I really, like, I could give a crap less. Yeah.
Kathy
Sheldon, NASCAR.com. Stewart Haas is so hot, Eric. Could you describe kind of the culture of how you guys keep it working together and collaborative rather than breaking into more competition within the team?
Yeah, I think that that's what makes Stewart Haas Racing so successful is that, you know, you've got, you know, four competitive teams, and obviously there's a lot of big personalities there and a lot of fun-loving spirit. But the commonality of Stewart Haas Racing is that everybody that shows up to work, whether it's Kevin Harvick or Tony Stewart or Gene Haas or the people sweeping the floors, everybody just loves racing. And that's, like, I've been at a lot of organizations, fortunately and unfortunately, in my career. And so I've gotten to see some of the, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly of each organization. You know, I've been a part of Joe Gibbs Racing. I've been affiliated with Hendrix through Junior Motorsports. And, you know, the 6 weeks that I spent, you know, working with Jimmy Johnson and on that baby duty deal that I did there. I've been a part of DEI. I've been a part of RPM. And through RPM, I've gotten to work with Roush. So I've seen a lot of the garage area. And the one thing that stands out to me the most at Stewart Haas Racing is that from top to bottom, the passion for just racing in general is unbelievable. Like, the people that work at Stewart Haas Racing wake up every morning excited to go to work for no other reason than to just figure out how to make race cars go faster. And everybody wants to just pull their weight. And that's something that is rare in this industry, because this industry is very dog-eat-dog world. And it's that's just not the case at SHR. It's everybody's there to pull their own weight and to do the best that they can at their job to try and help make their part of the race car go faster. And that collective effort, I think, is what has Stewart Haas Racing on top right now.
Claire
Belang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Tony Stewart in Victory Lane mentioned you when I interviewed him and said that you guys were coming, and he has such faith in you. And I wonder what he's lent to you as he sees your program. And he mentions the guys that finish at the top, and then you guys are coming. He feels very strong about it. What has Tony lent to the effort of where your particular team and you are at right now?
I think for me, Tony's just a great calming voice, because for me, you know, I sit back and I look at the success that all my teammates are having. And while, yes, we are running good and we are, you know, we're on pace to make the playoffs. We've got an average finish of whatever they said, 12.5. And so we're doing good things, but human nature is greed, right? Like, and so you always want more. And so if you would have told me going into the year before the season even started at Daytona that by, you know, Kansas in May that we would be 11th in points, 3 points out of 10th, and have an average finish of 12th, I would have probably said, all right, that's awesome, I'll take it. But then you go through the year and you watch, you know, you watch the four car run as good as they have, and you watch the 14 car, you know, win Martinsville and run up front, and you watch the 41 car run up front. And we have too, but we haven't always been as competitive as those cars. And so human nature is greed, and so I get to where I want more. Like I want to win, and we're only 11 races in, right? And so Tony's been just a very calming voice. He's been like, be patient, your time is coming, your group is young, your group is new, you're new to the organization, like you're far, you know, you're meeting our expectations and then some. And so that's just reassuring, and it's a confidence builder for me, knowing that, you know, even though I want more, and you know, I'm greedy, and I want to win, and I want to run in the top five every week, they're satisfied, and that they're happy with where we're at as a race team, and that just allows me to not feel, you know, pressure, and to be, you know, overly anxious, and to just concentrate on continuing to build that foundation with Johnny and the 10 team, and to get to where we need to be to run like Harvick and Bowyer and Kurt.
Sean, last question.
Sean Roney, Dos Mundos again. Going back to your earlier comments about the diversity program, what changes, if any, would you like to see made to the program so that it's more inclusive and more folks get an opportunity to be involved in this sport?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough question. It's a slippery slope, because the reality is that everybody needs a shot, right? Everybody needs a shot. Everybody needs an opportunity, especially if they've shown that they deserve it, and that they can, and that they've proven that they, you know, deserve that opportunity. But once you get that opportunity, it's up to you. It's up to that individual to make the most of it, to kind of carry on and continue. And not every time is the player that's drafted in the first round of the draft pick gonna make it, right? And so there's that process of, you know, evaluating where that person's at, giving them the shot and the opportunity, and then it's up to them to go make the most of it. And if they do, then they create more opportunities for themselves. And you've seen that with Kyle Larson and Daniel Suarez and Darrell Wallace and the other guys that, you know, they've gotten that opportunity, they've had success, and then that success has led to more opportunities. And then unfortunately there's been others that have gotten the opportunity and it just hasn't panned out. They haven't shown the speed or had the success, and then they don't make it. So I don't know. I don't think that anybody should be given anything, and I don't think that anybody expects to be given something that they don't deserve. But I feel like as an athlete, we all just want one shot, one opportunity. And if you get that shot and get that opportunity, then it's up to you to go and make the most of it.
Eric, thanks for taking the time to join us. Yep. Great. Good luck this weekend.